Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm never going to be accused of being the most observant person in the world, but especially on Sunday mornings. From the time I wake up, I have sort of this tunnel vision, and all I can focus on is what's going to happen in the worship services. I may walk by you in the hallway and not even notice you're there. If that's happened, I apologize. If it's going to happen, I apologize. I'm just so focused on what's going to happen right here, right now. And this happens from the time I wake up in the morning. I get up at about 5 o'clock. I get ready. I get dressed. I go to church. I start working on my sermon, or I continue to work on my sermon. I get it all ready, all for this moment. This was especially true one day in October in 2015. Maybe you remember October the 4th, 2015, and what happened then? The weathermen said that we might get some rain that day. Actually, they said that we might have a little bit of flooding that day. And so, when I woke up the next morning, I wasn't surprised that it was raining outside. It wasn't raining cats and dogs or anything. It was steadily coming down. And so, at the time, I was a pastor in Newberry, and I had the 45-minute commute. And so, I would leave at about 5:30, 6 o'clock to get there. And so, I got in my car, and I drove. And again, it was raining, but nothing horribly bad. I'd driven through much worse than that. But now, as I came into Newberry, I got a phone call, which people usually don't call at 6:30 in the morning unless something's really bad happened. And I saw who it was on my caller ID. It was one of my council members who was also a City of Newberry firefighter. And he was one of the ones that would always worry if we didn't have church, you know, because if you didn't have church, well, there's no offering in the offering plate. So I pick up the phone and say hello, and he goes, "We aren't having church today, are we?" "Well, yeah, why wouldn't we?" He said, "Because the city's downtown is completely underwater. A lot of the bridges are washed out, and we really shouldn't have people out in this." Really? I had driven 45 minutes from Lexington to Newberry and had only noticed rain. That's it. But as the sun began to come up, I started looking around, and I noticed that the entire yard in the church was completely flooded. And as I waited around and made some phone calls and took care of everything to cancel church that day, I started home. And I realized that the creeks next to the interstate on I-26 had filled up to the point that it was about 2 inches from being on the road. As I drove home, I was driving through big puddles. I drove over the lake and saw how much it had risen. And then when I got to my house, I noticed that the creek that was 200 yards from my home had broken its banks and was now a raging river 50 feet from my house. Apparently, it had been that way when I left a couple hours before. But in my totally oblivious state, I missed every single sign of flooding that there was. Totally oblivious to the fact that my life was in danger the entire time I was in the car. Now, I'm sure that I'm not the only person in the room here that's ever missed out on seeing a sign. I mean, how many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket? 5 of you, good. Okay, so I don't know about you, but now some people get your speeding tickets because you've got a bit of a lead foot. Probably ought to work on that. But if you're like me, every speeding ticket I've gotten is because I just didn't see the speed limit sign change. You know, I was tootling along going 55 miles an hour, and it dropped to 45, and I'm still going 50 miles an hour. I don't notice a sign, but I do notice the blue lights that are behind me, right? I mean, there's all kinds of signs that are right there in front of our faces, and yet we miss them, don't we? I mean, some people completely miss that their job's about to come to an end. Maybe they've gotten some bad performance ratings, or maybe the talk is that the whole business is going to close, and yet somehow they miss that. Or that a marriage is coming to an end. They completely miss the signs of the arguments and the complete butting of heads and talking past each other. And then they end up completely shocked when the letter comes. Or perhaps it's a health problem that, you know, you've been feeling a little off lately, but, you know, you just, it'll go away until you finally go to the doctor, and then it's something very serious. There's all kinds of signs that we have in our lives, and so much of the time we just look past them, don't we? We completely ignore the signs that are in our midst. We ignore the problems within our families. We ignore the problems within our careers. We ignore the problems within our government. We ignore all these problems, even though the signs are right there saying, warning, warning, warning. We just go on through as if nothing's wrong. See, that's what we're talking about throughout the season of Advent. The word Advent means coming. And unlike the shopping centers these days, we are not focusing on the coming of Christmas. That's not what Advent is. We focus on the coming of Christ, or rather the second coming of Christ. And so throughout this season, while we will have our Christmas trees up next week, I'll call them Advent trees for the first little bit, if that's okay with y'all. Until Christmas comes. But for us, the Christmas season doesn't begin until December the 24th. Up until that time, our focus is not that Christ came, but that Christ has promised to come again. And during that time, you and I will be discussing how we will be looking and preparing for this return. Now, to be fair, over the course of Christian history, a lot of people have tried to figure out when this is going to be. They've gotten out their calendars and their abacuses, or abaci, I don't know. You know, those little ball things. And they've tried to figure out, this is when Jesus is coming back. And they've told people, and people have believed them. And they've stockpiled stuff because Jesus is coming back, or they've sold all their stuff. And then, time and time and time again, some preacher has had to stand up in front of a congregation and say, oops. Just kidding. Or God changed his mind. Or maybe, just maybe, they should have paid attention to what Jesus himself said in today's gospel reading. Here in Matthew's gospel, we have two chapters where Jesus talks about the second coming. And right here, at the very beginning of chapter 24, it says, the disciples say, okay, well, when is this going to be? And Jesus goes through and tells a couple parables, and finally, in our reading today, he gets around to answering that question. And the question is, I don't know when it's going to be. No one does. Nobody knows except God the Father. Jesus Christ doesn't even know when that's going to happen, and some Yahoo preacher from the hills, he's figured it out. Somehow, I don't think that's the way God works. Because what God says is not, you better watch out, you better figure this out. No, God says, be ready. Stay awake and be ready. And so, how do we do that? Well, our biggest problem isn't about the how, it's the fear that we have to get through, right? Because we're afraid of this. Is this something that we're overly excited about? Oh, Jesus is coming, the end of the world, hooray. I mean, the movies that we watch scare the daylights out of us. There was a whole series of books, maybe you've heard of it, Left Behind, any of you read those? Guess what? This Bible passage is where it came from. It says that two will be in the field working. One will be taken and one will be left behind. Two women will be grinding meal. One will be taken and the other will be left behind. Actually, our text just says left, but, you know, more effective, left behind. Now, I can assure you that this is a very scary thing, because all of a sudden planes are going to be falling out of the sky and you know, these driverless cars are going to be racing down the road. Now, I can assure you, though, if you're riding with me, you'll be safe. I'm not going anywhere. But the I'm glad some people caught that. So the reality is, though, I'm not sure that that's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is telling us to be prepared. And as we're being prepared, life is still going to be going on, right? Because that's how it happens. Life goes on, because you could be out working with someone one day, and the next day, that person could be gone. Maybe they move away. Maybe they just don't show up. Maybe they die. One will be taken, and one will be left behind. That's life. That's not the end of the world. That's just another day, isn't it? And so as we go through this life, we have the promise that Jesus is going to be coming back. And yes, because of that, we need to live in a state of readiness. So what does that mean? How are we going to know? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to look for the signs. We need to look for God's presence. Now, the signs I'm talking about, earthquakes and famine and war and rumors of war and all these things, which, by the way, are always going on anyway. The signs I'm talking about to prepare us for Christ's return is to look for Christ in our midst right now. To look for the signs of His presence with us. And I promise you, my friends, God is present with us. We're just missing the signs. So the way we prepare ourselves is we begin by focusing on looking at those signs. Look at the signs of God in your midst. And maybe you'll see God in a sunset as it sets over Lake Murray. Or maybe you'll see God in a conversation that you're having with a friend. Or maybe you'll see God in the face of somebody at Walmart who actually smiles at you. Or maybe you'll see God as you watch a movie or read a book. There's all kinds of ways that we could see God interacting with us every single day. But rest assured, sometimes God sightings are not just happy things. Sometimes they're warnings, right? I mean, if you go into a restaurant and see roaches on the floor, that's a good warning sign that maybe you shouldn't be eating at that restaurant, right? Don't you think God sends us those same kind of warnings? You know, maybe like, oh, I don't know, you're failing in all your classes. Maybe you should study more. Or you're not doing as well as you could at work. Maybe you should work harder. You seem to be arguing with your spouse a lot. Maybe you should work on your communication. You seem to be broke all the time. Well, maybe you shouldn't go out to eat every single day. There's all kinds of warning signs that we have in our lives, and if we looked at them, could it not be that God is interacting with us saying, whoa, maybe that's not your best choice. Maybe that's not the way to go. And so, throughout this Advent season, I want to challenge you all to take some time to see the signs of God in your midst. Look for these God sightings. Mark them down every day. And maybe when you sit down as a family for dinner, go around the table and say, where did you see God today? What's God saying to you right now? You know, or maybe you just write them down at the end of the day or at the beginning of the next day when you're putting together your to-do list. Where did you see God yesterday? Take note of the times that you see the Almighty in your midst. And see if that doesn't change the way that you see everything. When you look for the signs, you'll see the signs. And they're there. That you have a God who loves you. who cherishes you, who forgives you, who has called you by name. And it is that God who's coming again. And look, folks, this isn't something that we should be afraid of. This is something that we should ask for and pray for. Because listen to what Isaiah says. It says, "For out of Zion go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations. He will arbitrate for many peoples. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, O people of Pisgah, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The Lord is coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.